Confrontation, the antidote, the textbook of Christian Science, entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, begins with three introductory quotes. The first is a quotation from Jesus, as recorded by John in chapter 8. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The second is from Shakespeare. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And the third is a quotation from Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. In three phrases, Mary Baker Eddy refers to God. Jesus obviously refers to God when he says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Mary Baker Eddy defines truth as one of the seven key terms to define God. And Shakespeare makes it clear that our thinking has a direct impact on our experience. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy's quote is indicating that we will be blessed if we pray aright. And of course, real prayer is the projection of our thoughts. If our thoughts are based on the instruction from Jesus about truth, then our experience will be divine. It will be spiritual. It will be reflecting the qualities of God. Since Mary Baker Eddy states that God is all in all, and also basically tells us that there is nothing but God, and of course that includes God's manifestation, which is all existence, then it is appropriate to also review what she defines as God. On page 465 from the recapitulation chapter, she says that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587, she defines God as the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. And on that same page, she defines good as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. If one would begin every treatment with the words that have just been reiterated and contemplate on them, that is a wonderful way to begin. For that is our cornerstone. That is our building block. And if we keep these things in thought throughout the treatment, we cannot get off of the path. We will be right on the path that Mary Baker Eddy refers to when she states that infinite progression is concrete being. We cannot miss. Mary Baker Eddy herself says, follow me only as far as I follow the Christ. we should build any treatment on the truth that is reiterated in these quotations. There's no question that the title to this treatment, which is Confrontation, the Antidote, must be based on these words that have already been stated. Another series of words that is very important is the introductory quote to chapter 14, Recapitulation. And as probably everyone knows, recapitulation is a summary of chapters 1 through 13 of the textbook. And chapter 14 is the final chapter of Science and Health, and chapter 15 is the beginning of the second section of Science and Health, which is entitled Key to the Scriptures. One could think of Science and Health as being the details about Christian Science, and the Key to the Scriptures could be thought of as the formula for connecting the dots, explaining what the Science and Health 14 chapters are all about, or rather the 13 chapters, because the 14th is a summary of the first 13. And everything stated in chapter 14 is directly from the first 13 chapters. The topics are very focused because the chapter is in the form of question and answer. The quotation that begins chapter 14 is very pertinent, and it states, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And that's a quotation from Isaiah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. Mary Baker Eddy was divinely led to create a new language by the use of capitalization. She emphasizes the great importance of understanding what the capitalization is all about. And in short, when a word is capitalized, other than, of course, at the beginning of the sentence, which doesn't indicate what I'm about to convey to you, and that is that the use of capitalization indicates that it is a term being used for God. Most of the time, that capitalization is reserved for the seven terms for God and the four operators. The seven terms being included in the definitions of God already read, which are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the four operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. From a mortal belief standpoint, there is a second mind called mortal mind. That is the term that Mary Baker Eddy uses to refer to it. But she states very clearly that there can be no mortal mind, for the term itself is an oxymoron, because mortal and mind are really opposites. She states that there can be only one God, and of course that's stated in the Bible. And by the way, that God is not a man called Jesus, even though she defines Jesus as the highest concept of man. And she says Jesus was the most scientific man that ever walked the globe. It is common to believe that Jesus performed miracles when he performed a healing. But she very clearly states that it was not a miracle, but merely the result of the practice of scientific healing. In other words, Jesus had a scientific understanding of God and his oneness in consciousness with God is what enabled the healing to come about. Truth really is the healer, but it is our connection with truth that enables the healing. One time, the disciples of Jesus saw a man that had been born blind, and they said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" And Jesus merely replied by stating that neither did this man nor his parents sin, but the only purpose of this was to bring forth the glory of God. And he healed the man, which brought forth and showed the power of truth, and that God was, in fact, perfect. For his alignment in thought with truth brought forth the healing. Jesus made many mistakes, as did everyone that was appearing in a human form. He chose Judas. That was not a wise selection. He took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Apparently, he felt they were the most advanced students of his 12 disciples. He asked them to stand watch while he wanted to go further up the mountain by himself. And when he came back, he found that they did not watch, but they went to sleep. When there is a human body involved, there is a belief of the ills of humanity. There is a belief that the individual came from the womb of a woman. And except for one exception we know of, Jesus, there was a man involved that planted the seed from which the child grew. So that is the belief that there is life, truth, and intelligence in matter. But in the scientific statement of being, Mary Baker Eddy states that there is no life, truth, or intelligence in matter, but that all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. And then she states that God is all in all. The first all being capitalized, meaning that it is the source, which is God, and the second one being lowercase, which means that it is the manifestation of God that is appearing in visible form. The scientific statement of being is so effective that if one substitutes the word of any ailment where it refers to matter, and if one substitutes the word I where it talks about man, there could be a healing result if this is done in a persistent manner with the true desire to be communing with God. In other words, getting out of thought all of the debris that is related to the topic at hand that is not spiritual. There is a treatment that was given previously that is entitled Pay It Forward, and in that is included a healing that resulted from this very method. If one is interested, they could listen to that treatment. How does all of the words that are stated so far in this treatment apply to the topic, which is confrontation, the antidote? One thing that one needs to be very clear about is that Mary Baker Eddy states that there in reality is no mortal mind. Also, that the only mind there is the one with a capital M, which means that God is the only mind there is. And she defines God, among other things, as being omniscience, and that includes all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. Based on God being those three very important features of mind or qualities, and God being the only mind there is, because she refers to God as being omni-intelligence, which means the one, only, and all. In fact, if God is omni, that means everything about God is omni, which means one, only, and all. So there is no competition, there is no opposition, therefore there can be no conflict. Because a conflict is a belief that there are opposing minds. But she states that there is only one mind. And of course, the Bible is clear on this also, referring that there is only one God. Jesus himself yielded to God to clear his thought on events that were taking place around him. He would go up into a mountain, or he would go off by himself in order to refresh his thought on what truth is, as opposed to what seemed to be coming his way that was challenging truth, that was challenging principle, that was challenging mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, and love. Certainly, it would have been very easy for Jesus to have been resentful or hateful when the soldiers came to arrest him. He knew he was innocent. His disciples did not have a very clear understanding of that, although John had the best understanding. If the disciples would have had a clear understanding of that, all 12 of them would have been at his side at the trial. Also at the crucifixion. But no, they were not there. Only John. And that's why Jesus felt that John was advanced enough that he could recite to John the words that are in Revelation, when John was on the island of Patmos. And John also is the only one of the 12 in which there was no body discovered, but only a disappearance of what was a physical body, which indicates that he ascended, as did Jesus. But like all the disciples, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. They put him in a pot of boiling oil. It did not take his life away. They had no choice but to exile him to the island of Patmos because they couldn't kill him by conventional means. So they wanted to get rid of his influence on the people. Little did they know that his influence would live on eternally in the book of Revelation. As Dr. Robert C. Putnam documents in his book entitled 10 Bible Lessons, John was exiled to the island of Patmos, but Jesus appeared to him in the flesh and dictated the book of Revelation. Once that work was done, the task of John on this earth was finished. Just as when Jesus ascended, his work on this planet was finished. And by the way, it has been proven by the physicist, which was ushered in by quantum physics around 1900, that there is no life, truth, and intelligence in matter, because as they kept splitting the atom, they realized that the only thing left was consciousness, which means that the earth is not made up of matter. Frederick L. Rawson referred to earth as ether. Others have referred to it as a field of electromagnetism. In the article, The Psychologist and the Magician, which is on the website, it is the experience of a man going through a tunnel and having every possible trick in manipulating a human mind that could be imagined. However, he was victor. The details in there are very much worth reading, for in one way or another, it is what we all experience throughout our life. A longtime friend and excellent practitioner told me that Job is every one of us. And the story of Job indicates that he was one that had all the comforts that was needed, but he went through a period in his life where he lost everything and was destitute. What he really lost was a belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. He got to the point in his life that was so low that he had absolutely nowhere else to go except God. He had many confrontations to deal with, and he discovered that the antidote was the one and only God. If something is not godlike, which means it has any element whatsoever of confrontation or conflict or competition or dilution, diversion, deflection, interference, discord in any way, shape, or form, stoppage of progress or the reversal, another form of an ungodlike vision. Not the vision of truth, but the vision of dilution of the power of God. In other words, the vision that God is not the one and only power, not the one and only reality. The reason that God can never be defeated is because God is not a person. God is qualities. The quality is defined by the features of the quality. That is fact. Fact cannot be defeated. Truth cannot be reversed. It can be faked. There can be a facade that tries to act like it's truth, but truth itself can never be deviated, influenced, or changed in any way. If so, it's not truth. It is a facade. It is a misunderstanding. It is an incorrect viewpoint. The truth, viewed correctly, is unchangeable. In considering how to dissolve a conflict, One could be thinking about conflict in their own thought about something that they have been considering. And they're trying to evaluate it and doing the old Ben Franklin method of having a T on a sheet of paper and putting all the pros on one side and all the cons on the other. In other words, the things that are correct or the things that are incorrect about any one of the things that are considered about any topic, with an intention of coming to a conclusion about whether one should say yes or no, accept or reject the idea. When one considers the system of divine metaphysics, and by the way, that is a phrase coined by Mary Baker Eddy and is quoted at the top of every page on the website in the header. She says that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. This statement, by the way, is on page 146 of Science and Health. And the complete statement is, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Now, I believe it'd be very easy to determine that disease is exactly what the word means when it is broken into two words, which is dis-ease. In other words, anything that is in conflict with God and the perfection of God is a disease. Sin is a disease. On the other hand, disease is a sin because it's believing in something other than the one and only infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme mind. These treatments teach the system. The system is really very simple, and yet it is extremely comprehensive. In fact, it goes into infinity, for new developments are discovered from time to time, adding to what was previously known, or correcting and going along a slightly different path that is improved, more accurate than what was previously discovered. The most advanced discoveries were by Rolf Witzke. His final statements were made about 2010 in his latest revisions of his books that explain the system. He has very extensive diagrams to give us a pictorial view, and like a picture, a picture is worth a thousand words. For a correctly drawn diagram connects the dots of many, many variables. But in essence, the simplicity of the system is that the elements are defined, just like in mathematics, 0 to 9, 10 digits, and the operators are defined. In mathematics, it's add, subtract, multiply, and divide. In the system of divine metaphysics, the elements, which replace the 0 to 9 of mathematics, are stated in the definition of God, which was read at the beginning of this treatment, which is, one of which is, that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Those seven terms, beginning with mind and ending in love, are what could be tantamountly considered to be replacing the digits of 0 through 9 in mathematics. and the operators of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science are tantamount to the add, subtract, multiply, and divide, which are the operators of mathematics. Helen Wright wrote a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed, and in it, chapters 4 through 10, each one being devoted to one of the seven synonymous terms, is one of the very best studies that anyone can focus on if their desire is to learn these seven basic elements of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. It is highly recommended that if one is serious about the study of Christian Science, that they use that as their Bible reference, so to speak, for the meaning of the terms, the seven primary ones, which define God. There's also instruction in that book about the operators of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. But basically, the Word means the facts about God, which is the seven synonymous terms. And the Christ means the translation of whatever comes our way, so that we translate it into the spiritual realm, looking through the lens of spirit. Just as Jesus did when he saw the blind man that was referred to along the roadside, he did not see him as blind. He saw him as an idea of God. And his vision of the individual being the idea of God is what enabled him to heal the blindness. Christianity is the third operator, and Christianity means demonstrating what you think you understand in 1 and 2. What is God all about? And how am I interpreting in a spiritual way the problem that appears to be staring me right in the face? And if there's a healing, that means that we had a proper translation, which is the second step, the Christ. And the fourth of the operators is Science, that's with a capital S, and that means that we are already at the advanced stage where we have been able to perform healing as a result of understanding step 1 and 2, or the operators 1 and 2, and therefore everything is automatically, when it comes our way, translated just as Jesus did. We are looking out from the level of God. As Einstein states, you cannot solve a problem by working on the same level as where the problem was discovered. In essence, we need to be at a dimension above the level where the problem was facing us, which means that it was on the mortal level, because there are no problems on the divine, because the divine means that it's a reflection of God, which is perfect. If we want to solve a confrontation, we must understand the antidote is God, God's qualities, which include things such as omni-action. So the only action that can take place is the omni-action of God, as was stated in the definition of good, that good was God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omni-action. So there can be no action except the action of God, because omni means one, only, and all. Thinking is an action. Anything that is movement is an action. And of course, in reality, nothing is ever static. For God is dynamic. In other words, all of God's qualities, if they are static, they are not qualities of God. They must be exercised constantly individually. And then they are alive and active in our own individual experience. So in a confrontation, how many people are involved? None. No people are involved. If people is defined as humans or mortal minds or events or anything else, because everything is God. God is all there is. God is all in all source and all manifestation. If we align our individual thought, consciousness with God, then there can be no confrontation. We cannot see a confrontation. We cannot see a blind man or a leper or a dead girl, Tabitha, or anything else that is unlike God, or a dead Lazarus, or a guard that should have his ear cut off. Peter was seeing a mortal. He was seeing more than one mind when he cut the ear off of the guard when he was there to arrest Jesus. Peter was seeing a conflict. Jesus was not. Jesus was contemplating harmony. Jesus was convinced that his life could not be taken by a man or by nails on a cross. The solution to many different problems is the understanding or the cultivation of the understanding, striving down that path of infinite progression with the goal of concrete being. The one single thing that is probably more common than anything else that is trying to put a wedge between us and God is the belief, which obviously is false, that there is more than one mind. Because mind is really the one term that is probably closest related to our thought, our consciousness. Well, consciousness is really truth, but our thought, I believe, is more closely related to mind than any other term for God. And based on the introductory quotes, where Shakespeare says there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, then we need to begin with our thought. Not the thought of somebody else, not the thought of whatever is causing the confrontation, whether it's internal or external. We need to begin not with the thought of confrontation, but with the cultivation, the affirmation of what God is. If God is all, if there is nothing but God, we have no choice but to begin with God. The beginning, middle, and the end should all be about God. Truth is another very important term in dealing with confrontation, because we have to know what the truth is about any situation whatsoever. And we have to align it with principle, because principle is harmonious, balance. It's all system and structure. And we can't forget love, because love is all plan and design. In other words, there is nothing that could interfere with the true plan and design. The truth of love. The truth of the plan and design is the truth of love. The truth of the system and structure is the truth of principle. The truth of intelligent thinking wise thinking and actions, and knowing those are the truth about mind, the qualities of omniscience, which is all knowing, all intelligence, and all wisdom. I like to think of them in the order of all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. Because if we reflect the intelligence, we are going to be wise in our actions. And when the actions prove to be successful, then we will know that we were on the right path. Mr. Rawson wrote a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And in it, there's a chapter called Applied Treatment. And he lists 1,315 different items or related items that relate to a particular ailment. He, through scientific prayer, had revealed to him what the elements are of each ailment and what is the proper counterfact and how to overcome the ailment. That one book is an encyclopedia that one should study that has to do with the proper, or at least one proper way, to conduct prayer. And Mr. Rawson, the author, states that one should not study ailments that are not what one is facing. So when I say study the book, I don't mean study ailments that are not pertinent to what the problem is that you may be facing. For that would be like studying a medical dictionary. It means that you are going to plant a seed in your thought about every single ailment that is in the medical dictionary. If you're going to study a dictionary, study the glossary of science and health, because that gives you the spiritual foundation and, in many cases, the opposite, so you know how to identify it, of the important terms that are used in the Bible and science and health. That, along with chapter 14, which is a summary in question and answer form, as stated, of the first 13 chapters of Science and Health, give one a wonderful set of references in order to scientifically approach the proper way to heal any ailment. Everything needs to be individualized. We cannot just read someone else's thoughts on something and expect to be healed. We need to internalize it. We need to relate it to our particular situation. And keep in mind that what may appear as a problem could be a decoy for what the real problem is. For example, if we're on the way to an important meeting and have an accident with the vehicle, that could merely be a temptation to delay the meeting or a temptation to avoid the discussion or decision making that needs to be made in the meeting. That could be something unrelated to a vehicle accident. So the problem could not be the accident at all. That could only be a decoy to prevent what really needs to be tended to. Mary Baker Eddy states that when we are faced with a problem, it often attacks the weakest part of our body. Now, what is body? Body is not just what is considered a physical form. A body is everything in our thought. Remember what Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What makes it so is what is going to be our experience. What do we want our experience to be? We have to begin with our thought. Mary Baker Eddy points out the importance of having a model in thought to refer to, just as a sculpturist or a painter. A painter may be looking at a beautiful landscape, and his object is to paint that landscape. Or an individual doing a portrait may have the individual whose portrait they're creating to be sitting in a chair or standing or whatever position they want them to be in order to properly paint them. We must have a model in our thought of the ideal situation, and we need to be referring to that mentally, constantly, in order to have it be our experience. Mary Baker Eddy wrote an article entitled "Love Your Enemies," and in it she states, "Who is thine enemy except what we believe in our thought to be our enemy?" The same with everything, every confrontation. Who do we believe is in this confrontation? What do we think the confrontation is all about? Are we giving any thought to what Mary Baker Eddy defines as the word good? Or are we thinking about what is the opposite of good, which is evil? If we're thinking about confrontation, that is not good, that is evil. If we're thinking about love, we're not thinking about hate, we're thinking about love. Reverse what appears to be something unlike God so that our thought is on the truth and not error, on reality, not a vision of unreality, not a fake. We want the real thing that is our model, that is our focus. Mary Baker Eddy states in a letter to a student on the topic of vision, she says, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" Focus. We've had discussion in this treatment on what should be the topic of the focus. If we follow that pattern, instead of focusing on the error, but focusing on truth with a capital T, the error will go running for the hills. The truth will come out in full blossom, full bloom, the beauty, the fragrance of everything perfect. Mary Baker Eddy states that if we have a problem, it will attack the weakest part of our body. Error, mortal mind, attacks the place that is the easiest entrance into mortal thought. If we stand guard at the door, as Mary Baker Eddy recommends, it will go somewhere else. It's in the atmosphere of thought. And it goes where it is being received. Wentworth Winslow says to think of yourself as being in a room with a telephone and a radio. the telephone is ringing its head off, trying to get attention, wants someone to pick it up and listen and let it into their thought. The radio is a symbol for the kingdom of God, in which it is only announcing truth. It is only announcing the qualities of God and how they apply to all existence. We are part of that all existence. How does it apply to us? We need to internalize it, as stated. Make it a part of us, just like was stated about the scientific statement of being. Personalize it. Individualize it. Probably a better way to state it. In other words, put the ailment that is trying to make a presence to us, replace the word matter with the term for the ailment. Talk about yourself being a reflection of God. As a part of the statement of the scientific statement of being. And the last phrase that says, and man is not material, he is spiritual. Say, I am not material, I am spiritual. And we need to think about everyone like we should be thinking about ourselves. If someone else comes to thought, make sure that the thought about that individual is what we should be thinking about for ourselves. Remember the golden rule. Are we thinking about someone else that comes to thought like we would like others to think about us? And of course, our real focus should be on us all the time, our consciousness and God. Those are the two entities we should be referring to, God and our own consciousness. Don't be thinking about others. Mary Baker Eddy says, don't put your thought into other people's business. She says, you will be plenty busy by taking care of your own consciousness, your own affairs, without meddling in someone else. Let them take care of their own affairs, their own thought. A good way to end every treatment is to know that there is nothing that can dilute, divert, deflect, interfere in any way with the truth that is stated in this treatment. God is the only source of mind, for God is the only mind there is. There can't be any stoppage or reversal to the good of God, as stated in this treatment. There is no stoppage and there is no reversal. God is all in all source. And all manifestation, there is nothing but God. The end and amen.